This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن محمدا رسول الله أشهد أن محمدا رسول الله حي على الصلاة حي على الصلاة حي على الفلاح حي على الفلاح الله أكبر الله أكبر لا إله إلا الله
الحمد لله الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد أن سيدنا ونبينا محمدًا عبده ورسوله صلى الله تعالى عليه وعلى آله وصحبه ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين أما بعد قال الله سبحانه وتعالى في كلامه المجيد والفرقان الحميد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم وأطيعوا الله وأطيعوا الرسول لعلكم ترحمون فقد قال تعالى لقد كان لكم في رسول الله أسوة حسنة لمن كان يرجو الله واليوم الآخرة وذكر الله كثيرا صدق الله العلي العظيم I begin in the name of Allah, most gracious, most merciful. I bear witness that there's none worthy of worship except the one Allah and that His beloved Nabi and Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, is His last and final messenger. We begin by praising Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for His help, His protection, His mercy, His blessings, His sustenance, and praying and begging Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us amongst the most successful individuals, both in this life and the hereafter. Ameen ya Rabbal Alameen. This masjid has dedicated a few hours today and the bulk of tomorrow to the seerah of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. There is no one more impactful that has come to this earth than the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. There is no one who has moved more lives than the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. There is no one whose day-to-day movements, every single one of them, there's no one on this earth who has come whose movements have made an impact like that of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Historically, when we look upon an individual, when we imitate an individual, when we look up to an individual, we look at them for some of their talents. Some of their talents, not all of them. We look at how they speak, we look at how they write, we look at how they sing, we look at how they play sports. Those are the qualities we imitate, we look up to certain qualities of human beings. But there's no one on this earth whom people look up to for all of his qualities. And that's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions in the Quran, وَمَا يَنْطِقُ عَنِ الْهَوَىٰ إِنْ هُوَ إِلَّا وَحْيٌ يُوحَىٰ. That every action, every word of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam happens to be a revelation revealed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And so if you want to look up to someone in your moments of happiness, the Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. In your moments of grief, the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. While you are traveling, the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. While you're at home, the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. While you're young, the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. As you get older, the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. You're a female, the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. You get what I'm trying to say. In every moment, in every moment of ours, we can look up to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam and we can turn to his seerah. We can turn to his seerah. And it is that seerah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam that continues to keep the ummah alive today. In moments of extreme grief, right, in moments of extreme grief, we still look up to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. We don't lose our faith. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the Quran is filled with verses around the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. لَقَدْ كَانَ لَكُمْ فِي رَسُولِ اللَّهِ أُسْوَةٌ حَسَنَةٌ. The best example we find is in that of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And the example that we find are not just for this dunya. We have to understand that the examples that we find are examples that lead us into the akhirah. That take us into the akhirah. The real salvation, the real success is not that of this world, is that of the akhirah, is that of the hereafter. And so when people grieve, when people become sad, when people become upset, right, people do all kinds of things. And in addition to taking the means that we need to in this dunya, we turn to the seerah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. It's very simple. And a simple example that has been so real for us for the last so many decades, but for people who have not been alive for the last so many decades, definitely the last year, are our brothers and sisters in Gaza. Despite all the odds being against them, every single odd being against them, having had to forcefully give up everything that they had, including many their own lives, there is not a single person that you will come across who has deviated from their faith. I want people to think about this. Right? You have all these groups, we're finding this in today's day and age, we have all these groups of individuals, right, who say they consider themselves to be ex-Muslim. Right, people who say, well, I was born Muslim. People who say my parents are Muslim. People who say I go to pray because everyone prays, but I don't know if I believe in Islam anymore. I really don't know if there happens to be a God out there anymore. How can the God of the Muslims be so non-merciful? These are very real questions. Right? How can Allah, this is a very common question amongst young individuals. How can Allah allow for this to happen? The very people that are suffering are not making these statements. The very people that are suffering are not making these statements. The very people who are carrying the limbs of their young children in bags are not making these statements. Yet when you ask them, they say, Hasbunallahu wa ni'mal wakeel. Allah will suffice for us. Why? Because they didn't just read the seerah. They didn't just study the seerah as something meant to be studied and researched. They allowed for that seerah to penetrate into their hearts. They allowed for that seerah to penetrate into their hearts. And while the seerah contains, the seerah reminds us of how to live in this world, more importantly, the seerah also reminds them of the akhirah and the hereafter. Reminds them of the hereafter. And so they know that for all their, they won't ask and say, why will Allah allow this? They truly believe that the reward is with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the hereafter. We have these golden, you know, subhanallah, we're alive, we're well, we have the ability to read, we have the ability to study, we have the ability to listen, we have the ability to host events and conferences that are around the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam without any permission from anyone. You know, we take, as Muslims in America, we take so many things for granted. We take so much for granted. And then when little things happen, we begin to complain. The reality is that the freedoms that the Muslims in America have are unfound in other parts of the world. A very dear friend of mine has dedicated the last few decades of his life translating works, Islamic works, into the Chinese language. Corporate America, took early retirement, is living off of his retirement for the last two decades. And he recently told me that he wanted 10 copies of a certain book to be brought into Taiwan through mail. No, just being mailed. A book, 10 copies of a book being mailed from the United States into Taiwan. And he needed government permission to import 10 books on Islam. By the way, they were all one book. It was just 10 copies of one book into Taiwan. Permission, the permissions that are needed. The freedoms that we have as Muslims in America. Don't take them lightly, brothers and sisters. When we are given this opportunity to discuss the Battle of Badr, the Battle of Uhud, the migration of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the lessons that we take away from them, the ability to practice Islam, the ability to dress in whatever way we want, the ability to congregate freely, these are all freedoms that you and I have been given. That people actually fought for, by the way. Now, don't get me wrong. You want to talk about many of the freedoms that we are being stripped of, that's an entirely different lecture. But we have the ability to stand up for our rights. And so while there are many, many faults we find in this land that we call home, the rights that our First Amendment gives to us should not be taken lightly. And as a result of that, right, we have every reason to not just study our faith, but to be in gatherings that will allow for our hearts to become munawwar, to allow our hearts to be enlightened. This is very real. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reminds us in the Quran, وَأَطِيعُ اللَّهَ وَأَطِيعُ الرَّسُولَ لَعَلَّكُمْ تُرْحَمُونَ. Obey Allah and His Messenger. Obey Allah and His Messenger. And that's what people who are going through grief in other parts of the world are doing. They are simply obeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and His Messenger against all odds. And they say, Sami'na wa ata'na. We have heard and we have obeyed. We have heard and we have obeyed. They don't ask questions. But it takes a lot. It's not just about information. The information highway is very, very real. People know a lot more than what people knew in the past. There's no doubt about that. But it hasn't penetrated into the hearts. Right? In fact, in Surah Ali Imran, the verse that I recited, وَأَطِعُوا اللَّهَ وَأَطِعُوا الرَّسُولَ لَعَلَّكُمْ تُرْحَمُونَ, the verse right after that is, وَسَارِعُوا إِلَى مَغْفِرَةٍ مِّن رَبِّكُمْ وَجَنَّةٍ عَرْضُهَا السَّمَاوَاتُ وَالْأَرْضُ أُعِدَّتْ لِلْمُتَّقِينَ الَّذِينَ يُنْفِقُونَ فِي السَّرَّاءِ وَالضَّرَّاءِ وَالْكَاظِمِينَ الْغَيْظَ وَالْعَافِينَ عَنِ النَّاسِ وَاللَّهُ يُحِبُّ الْمُحْسِنِينَ. Right? وَالْكَاظِمِينَ الْغَيْظَ وَالْعَافِينَ عَنِ النَّاسِ. When we talk about seerah, people say, well, I know exactly what's happening. I don't need to be told. Right? Simple qualities of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Simple reminders of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Quran. وَالْكَاظِمِينَ الْغَيْظَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala explains two qualities that the believers need to have in order for you to be a complete believer. كَاظِمِينَ الْغَيْظَ وَالْعَافِينَ عَنِ النَّاسِ. Those who withhold their anger. Withhold, it is a prophetic quality to withhold our anger. It's a prophetic, some would say suck it up. But it's a prophetic quality to withhold our anger. That's when you know you've become a good Muslim. وَالْعَافِينَ عَنِ النَّاسِ. And forgiving people. Learning to forgive. Simply say that I have forgiven you until the day of judgment. And my reward in أَجْرِيَ إِلَّا عَلَى اللَّهِ. My reward is with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's really what being a Muslim is. It's very, very simple. That's really what following the seerah is. You know, people say, I need to fight for my rights. Absolutely, we need to fight for our rights. But there are times when we come into situations where forgiveness is far better than fighting for our rights. I'm not alluding to the current political situation, by the way. I'm talking about our family matters. Right? Family matters. How was the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when Aisha radiallahu anha was asked, how was the Nabi Muhammad? How do you define his character? Right? She said, كان خلقه القرآن. His character was the Qur'an. When Aisha radiallahu anha was asked, how is he at home? He says, the Nabi alayhi salatu wa sallam says, خياركم خياركم لأهله. The best of you are those who are best to their families. We simply cannot, brothers and sisters, we cannot change the ummah. We cannot bring change to the ummah unless we bring an internal change to ourselves. Really, that's the greatest challenge that we have. People talk about all these great challenges. The simplest challenge is simply going home after work, after the masjid, and being kind to your family members. Giving time to your family, right? Brothers and sisters, however, whoever, this is for everyone, myself included, that we're not hanging out with our friends far more than we're hanging out with our own families. That when we go home, we're not screaming all the time. When we go home, we are kind to our parents. خياركم, خياركم لأهله. When we go home, we are kind to our parents. When we go home, we are kind. We have good words for our spouses. If something has or has not been done at home, we simply don't lose our cool and end up becoming a monster. Why? خياركم خياركم لأهله. Because the best of you are those who are best to their families. Right? Spending time with those around you. Why? Because خياركم خياركم لأهله. Giving people their due rights. Right? You owe people money. Pay your debts. You've been unkind to one of your brothers or sisters. Be kind to them. The seerah reminds us, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam says, that whoever is kind to their kith and kin, to their blood relatives, the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam says, you have two benefits. The Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, your age is increased. If you are kind to your blood relatives, this is the Nabi alayhi salatu wa sallam, your age is increased. The Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, if you're kind to your kith and kin, your wealth, your rizq is increased. So your rizq is increased. I have a very dear friend, very briefly, he says, I've been struggling to get a job for the longest time. He says, I heard this in a khutbah. I got in my car and I came to realize that I have a sister who I disagreed with. And as a result of my disagreement, I had not necessarily cut ties with her, but we wouldn't call each other. We wouldn't speak to each other as we would in the past. And he says, I sucked it up. I picked up the phone and called my sister. And I asked her for forgiveness. He says, despite my sister being in the wrong. He said, I asked her for forgiveness. And I said, let's let bygones be bygones. Let's move ahead in life. He says, I put the phone down. The next phone call I got before I even got home was a job offer. And I had been struggling to get a job for 10 months. Why? By the way, very highly accomplished, PhD. In any case, why? The Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam makes us this promise. Brothers and sisters, the seerah is awesome to say the least. The seerah is awesome. But it's all about listening to it. It's all about implementing it. The more we listen, the more we will have the ability to implement. We haven't been sent into this world to simply make money and make just have fun. There's a lot more that needs to be done. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, for Muslims in America specifically, Allah has given us this ability to have the freedom where we can congregate in our mosques and ask any one of us to be able to speak and listen to them. You don't need approvals from some authority, some worldly authority in order for you to be able to listen to a lecture on seerah or for that matter, anything else by anyone that you wish and desire to do so. This is a great opportunity, but like I said earlier, we've been taking this for granted. And as a result of our taking this for granted, we simply think, oh, it's just another event. It's simply just happening. Who cares? Let's move on. Any gathering in which Allah and His Messenger are mentioned are also gatherings of dhikr. We tend to forget that. We come from certain kinds of backgrounds and ideologies where we think that the only form of dhikr is reciting the Quran. The only form of dhikr is attending some sort of a dhikr gathering. That the only good that we can do in our lives is, you know, doing certain types of activities or reading certain types of books. The reality is that, for us to be able to say, I am Muslim, to go into the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to go into any gathering where Allah and His Messenger are mentioned, are all gatherings of dhikr. Don't take these lightly. And I say this especially to the young parents, and I want to close. I say this especially to the young parents. If you are concerned about raising your children wholesome, holistic, Muslim, if this matters to you, you are going to have to give up your weekend parties and going out all the time. I'm not saying don't do them. But you're really going to have to make a conscious choice of these gatherings and the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala being a very, very important part of your life. And being there with them. You know, I say to parents at Sunday school, say, don't be the parent that simply leaves the child outside and picks them up outside. Be the parent that walks in with them. Be the parent that prays dhuhr next to them before you take them home. That's how we're going to raise children. And if we truly want the seerah to be implemented in the lives of our children, we simply can't teach them the seerah. We have to implement the seerah in our lives. Right? We have to implement this. It's hard work. And we're not doing this just for the sake of the dunya. We are also doing this, and more importantly, doing this for the sake of the akhirah. Don't forget that. We're always worried about what's happening to us in the dunya, but it's all about the akhirah. May Allah bless us all. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reward us all. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allow us to truly love Him subhanahu wa ta'ala and His Messenger Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. بارك الله بارك الله لنا ولكم في القرآن العظيم ونفعنا وإياكم بالآيات والذكر الحكيم إنه تعالى جواد كريم ملك بر رؤوف الرحيم فاستغفروه إنه هو الغفور الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين أما بعد. We talk about the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and his seerah, and I want to close with something very, very simple. The Prophet alayhi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam also told us how to live in this world, how to be financially competent in this world. And we Muslims have a method of being financially competent called waqf, right? This is just something which is very, very near and dear to my heart. And I only say this as a matter of fact and information. I sit on the Prophet of about half a dozen nonprofit boards. And every single one of them has a waqf in the millions of dollars. Whether that project is small or large, I'm a true believer in waqf. And I could speak about this forever. But you know, if you go to certain Muslim countries, no matter how hard you try, you cannot donate and contribute to your local masjid. You can't, because these are run by awqaf. And the reason I shared this and I decided to talk about this right now is as I drove in, and I can see from here that, you know, your masjid has a waqf project that no masjid in this country has. Mubarak. Mubarak to all of you and to your entire community for thinking of the future of this ummah, where we can go to putting our funds in far more places. Let me tell you something. Let me tell you a secret. Fundraising will never stop. Okay? It's an opportunity to give to the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's not a bad thing. But if you have your awqaf, you know you can run your schools and your masajid. School, I say schools first. We're living in interesting times. And so Mubarak to you and your community for this amazing project that you are doing. And I can tell you for a fact, and I know all of you know this, there's not a single community in the entire United States that has been this visionary as your community to build this project. And I've been told that the theme for is United We Build. And inshallah, United We Will Build. And this is also part of the seerah of the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, where we become financially independent. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reward us all. May Allah facilitate khair for every single one of us. May Allah protect us from all forms of harm and evil. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala continue to bless us and our families. Those who are ill in our families, may Allah grant them shifa. Those who have passed away, may Allah grant them maghfirah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us a means of halal rizq. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make our means of rizq easy for us. May Allah put increase and barakah in our rizq. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect our children and our progenies. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala facilitate khair and blessings for all of us in this dunya and the hereafter. May we and our progenies until the day of judgment be amongst those who love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who truly love the Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and become proud of obeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and his Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And may Allah never ever take this blessing of iman away from us and our progenies until the day of judgment. Amin ya rabbal alamin. A'udhu billahi minash shaitani rajim. Bismillahir rahmanir rahim. Inna Allaha wa malaikatahu yusalluna 'alan nabi. Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu sallu 'alayhi wa sallimu taslima. Allahumma salli 'ala Muhammadin 'abdika wa rasulik wa salli 'ala al-mu'minina wal mu'minat wal muslimina wal muslimat wa barik 'ala Muhammadin wa 'ala alihi wa ashabihi wa azwajihi wa dhurriyyatihi. Rabbana atina fid dunya hasanah وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار إن الله يأمر بالعدل والإحسان وإيتاء ذي القربى وينهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر والبغي يعظكم لعلكم تذكرون فاذكروني أذكركم واشكروا لي ولا تكفرون أقيموا الصلاة